Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and today's interview is with Lindsay Nyman. Lindsay basically does it all. She's one of those people who began as an actor, then added writing, and now has added producing, and I kind of have a hunch she's going to direct someday. I got to meet Lindsay at Film Invasion LA in 2017, where we actually did the premiere of her film, The Blind Center. She's the lead of Blind Center, as well as the writer and producer, and I have to say, it really is just one of my favorites, and it's probably the film of all the ones we've shown at a festival that just absolutely wowed the audience. You know, there's that difference between watching it at home and watching it in a theater full of people. The Blind Center hasn't been released to the public yet, so it's not at discoverindiefilm.com, but you can go to theblindcentershortfilm.com, learn a lot about it there. I don't think we need any more setup. Let's talk to Lindsay.
From Long Island, and then when I was seven, I got an agent, so I was a child actor.
Was that because you were running around the house saying, I want to do
it? Yeah, I was already in you know, singing lessons and, you know, taking classes and stuff by that point, dancing, singing, whatever. And my teacher suggested oh, I have this connection to this agent. Her name is Nancy Carson. It was Carson Adler, which is still a big, the Broadway kids agent kind of. So I went in and signed with her when I was seven. And then I started auditioning and everything. I had a little black and white headshot with pigtails and overalls.
Right. Professionally cute.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. I had a gap in my teeth. But I couldn't really even read yet. I remember on one of my first auditions for Little Rascals or something, they had a script that they gave me, and I remember being oh, I have to sound it out. That's how little I was. And then I did Ragtime when I was nine, the national tour. So it was when it was on Broadway, Lea Michele, and I was on the tour for a little over a year. And then I did more plays. Wow. And
was that a thing where your parents had to travel with
you? My mom came with me, and then my dad and brother stayed at home. Yeah. I was tutored and stuff on the tour. And then I did more plays and commercial stuff like that. Then I was in a girl group when I was a teenager, called Huckapoo, which is a super embarrassing moment of my life. But now I own it because I'm old enough to not be embarrassed by it, I guess.
So a tween Spice Girl kind of thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly it. So that's what I did. And then went to college at UCLA, studied theater, film, and television. And then started off my journey as an adult actor and writer and director and producer.
Right, but you weren't going to stay in New York and just try to make it on Broadway. You were I'm going to go to UCLA and get a bachelor's.
I always kind of had a dream of going to LA, but also to go to college. And because when I was in the girl group, I was also out of school, tutored for those years. So I was wanted to just get kind of a regular college experience.
Do you have a fan base from this girl group? Kids who remember you as the person that they thought was the...
No. I mean,
there's people who still remember Menudo.
Yeah. I mean, maybe some random obscure, we were obscure. We never made it, you know? Right. We were
You were an underground girl.
Yeah, which is really funny. But yeah, we did we toured with the Jonas Brothers before they were famous. That was in there. That was our claim to fame. But yeah. And then that's been
my right. Director. So UCLA and the theater department.
Yeah. Theater TV. Film. TFT. Yeah. Theater, film, television. And I was in the acting track. So I was still focusing on acting. And then, did the acting auditioning thing, which I'm, still doing. But I also recently, or in the past couple years, transitioned into creating my own stuff. So I made a little web series and started writing some comedy content, sketches, all that kind of stuff, Funny or Die, all that kind of content. Funny, mostly comedy. I did all the levels of UCB and learned that kind of language. And then...
Right. So after UCLA, you did the UCB thing?
I did actually graduate from UCB during college.
Right.
Those four, I did that during school. And then... So then besides all the sketches and web stuff, The Blind Center was the first movie that I've written, or first short film that I've written and produced.
Right. And so now I have to ask, because I know the Blind Center kind of comes from a real space.
Yeah.
Where you actually do work.
Yeah.
At a blind center.
So, yes.
which, not to totally kiss your ass, but kind of makes you seem like a far better person than someone like me.
No, that's not true.
No, because you are, like, involved in teaching the blind acting classes.
Yeah, well, so I do... So, right after, maybe it was my senior year of college, I was out getting sushi, and I met this guy who was the head of this nonprofit called CRE Outreach, and he said, do you like theater? I said, yes. He said, okay, I run a blind theater company, with all blind and visually impaired actors. So I said, that sounds awesome. And I went and I watched and I started volunteering. I was his like assistant director for the plays. And then I had this idea he was doing already established plays. And I said, I have this idea. Like, can I write an original play that is based on these people's actual experience? So I wrote a play called Sit, S-I-T. And we put it on at the Promenade Playhouse in Santa Monica. And it was a play that I wrote based on one of my blind actors' true stories. Her life, essentially. And she played herself in it, which is cool. And I felt happy about that experience because it's along the lines of this, I don't know if you're familiar with like drama therapy. Part of it is like sometimes people that have traumatic experiences or like PTSD, they can like watch their experience in a removed way and be able to like, it's cathartic and they're able to cope with it
in a way.
So this was kind of, she's had a tough life. This woman that I wrote this thing about, she was born blind, but her parents were very, resistant to kind of helping her in any way. And were kind of rejecting the fact that she was blind. Like, I don't know if you watched the Oscar shorts.
I did see it. Yeah.
Silent Child. Yeah. So similar to that. Her mom didn't even want her to get like a cane, stuff like that. Like really? Neglect.
God, it almost made, I mean, you could understand the parents being awful parents in The Silent Child,
yeah.
but denying a blind person things just to get around.
Pretty bizarre. Yeah, it's pretty tough. She actually is amazing right now, though. She's very mobile and almost like barely even needs her cane, which is amazing. She kind of has this sense of energy around her. She knows where things
are.
Does
she do the click thing?
The sonar? No.
No, okay. Because I heard a podcast once.
I heard
about
that too.
The people who
was this click. American Life, I think. Or no, maybe it was a TED Talk.
Invisibilia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yes, and that's a skill that is pretty, like, you have to hone. I mean, this guy, he said that he started doing it naturally when he was little, but when I've talked to my students about it, none of them can do it, but she, I think, is doing it without doing, like sometimes, she'll stand next to something and she'll say to me, like, Lindsay, is there, like, a little bush that's about, like, this high next to me? And I'll say, yeah, there is. Like, she can feel the space.
She's using her hearing and other senses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fascinating.
Yeah. So she was born blind, and a couple of my other students or the actors were born blind, but the majority of the actors that I've worked with lost their sight later in life. Mm-hmm. Some through illness, some through, one woman I worked with was for, two women I've worked with actually was through abuse actually. So yeah. So a lot of the stuff they're going through.
Like spousal or.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's. Yeah, and one was through, like, a gang violence incident when she was, like, 17. She was shot. So, yeah there's a lot of
insane
darkness in
that student, she told you her story.
So she told
you
her story.
And you felt it just communicated to you that it would be a great play.
Yeah. So then moving on from that, I continued to work there and with the blind theater company through CRE Outreach, this nonprofit, and then also teaching acting classes at the Braille Institute, which was just, you know, on a volunteer basis, just teaching these acting classes, which I loved. And it was great for me to grow as well as an actor to have this experience. And
yeah. How long out of college was this?
Well, you're,
just like a year or two or?
Well, I've been working at this point. I've been working with blind actors for almost 7 or 8 years. It's been since I've been out of college.
Right.
Well, a little bit of college and past. No matter what I do in my own career with my own work, this is always an undertone. I'm always working in some capacity with blind actors. It's kind of my, like, home base, kind of. It's
sure,
the constant in my life, I suppose.
That must be an amazing thing for an actor to have, is sort of a refuge.
Yeah.
Of you, yeah. You can always go back. You can always nourish your soul with that.
Yeah. And now too, they're really like my family. I mean, it's been so many years, and, I'm sighted obviously, but I'm a part of the blind community in this capacity. And so it's just wonderful, I think, as well, to have relationships with people that aren't exactly like me. I mean, outside of my relationships with them, most of my life looks like, you know, people around my age who are either actors or writers or directors and live in West Hollywood with me. And that's pretty much it. But now, I mean, or since working with them, like some of the women that I work with are my best friends, and they're like 60-year-old blind women that I would never have ever known and now speak to and hang out with and see on like a regular basis.
Oh no, they adore you. I remember at the Film Invasion screening, which was that the premiere? Cause I think you invited a lot of people.
I think that was the premiere.
Cause all your actors were there, and I mean, not that you do it for the adoration, but you're obviously very special to them.
Thank you.
And which means they're special to you too.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel really, and I really do absolutely mean it when I say that, like, I feel like so grateful to have the experience that I do working with them, because just selfishly for my own life, you know, it just has been able to keep me grounded.
You're selfishly enjoying your selflessness.
Yeah, I guess. And it's, you know, yeah, it's also like, I don't at this point now too, cause I've just, so working with that. So I did the Blind Center, and, this was a film that was kind of more about, you know, me and my experience working with them, something that I wrote kind of autobiographically and then cast them in it. But now I started a program called Film by the Blind, which is under the umbrella of the original nonprofit through which I got involved in working with blind actors, through Theater by the Blind. And I've created my own kind of wing called Film by the Blind. And
right.
What that is, this is brand new, but what Film by the Blind is now not about me or my involvement in it. It's me producing my blind students' projects that are completely theirs. So now they're autonomous filmmakers that I am kind of facilitating their work, but they are writing, directing, producing, acting in their own thing. So it's seven of them, and I'm currently producing seven short films.
Right. So it's like you're running a production company for
them.
Yeah,
essentially. Like a all blind production company. And we're going to screen them in a little bit at our nonprofit's theater in Culver City. And it'll essentially be like a blind film festival, kind of.
Amazing.
So, yeah, so far we shot.
They were amazing to have at the film festival.
They're great.
And when they watched.
You could say watched.
Yeah, when they watched the film that followed. And
yeah.
You know, that filmmaker, the person whose feature showed after your short.
Yeah.
He'll never forget. He's mentioned to me just how amazing
really?
It was to have blind people, you know, ask questions during the Q&A and make insights into the film. It was amazing. It was, you gave him, accidentally,
nice.
He got an amazing experience out of it.
Yeah, they do love to, like, it was tough for them a little bit because they like to listen to things with audio description.
Yes.
And of course a lot gets lost when you don't have that, but they watched our film at the festival, obviously without audio description, but they had previously seen it with audio description. Cause I got my film described, audio described,
yeah,
paid a company to do it. And this way they could understand everything that was going on, even though they already knew, cause they were on set. It was still nice for them to get the full experience that they would in the way that they did.
And actually what I kind of let you skip over is, so when you sat down and wrote the Blind Center inspired by your experience,
mm-hmm.
then what was the process of getting it to the screen? Because not every idea that someone writes down ends up in festivals and getting awards.
Well, thank you. So I always kind of had this idea, but I was a little wary because I love to write comedy and I wanted this to be comedy. But I was like, feeling like it was a little risky and feeling like maybe people would like not understand it or it would offend people. And what got me to say, no, I want to make this was my students. The biggest thing that they say, and one of my friends put it really eloquently recently, which was like, sighted people, often their like insecurity or their, you know, trepidation leads to like inaction in terms of their communication or like connection to the blind community. So often in film and TV, we do see blind characters sometimes, but they're often like archetypes, like the wise old blind man and things that are a little bit disconnected from the rest of the community within the film. Like you don't usually see in a romantic comedy or something, like the star is like going out to get coffee with his girl, their girlfriend, that girlfriend's like not going to be blind and just not mentioned. Do you know what I mean? It's going to be like, here's a blind person, you know?
Yeah. And the blind person has to be wise, or the blind person has to be something. Sweet. They're never going to have a blind guy, you know, make a lascivious comment.
Not often.
But they should, because they're human beings.
Exactly. And so that's what I think the biggest thing was for me is, especially when I first started working in the blind community, I was really like having these kinds of ideas about like what blind people are like or how I should act. And then I realized, like, I think I said this in our Q&A, and I was like nervous after I said it, but I said like some blind people are like, I think I used a specific words, but I was saying like not wonderful, awesome people. They're like just
did
like
a rhyme with flagpoles.
Yeah. Like, you know, and that is not something that the blind community, as far as I know, in terms of my involvement, would be upset to hear. They'd actually be like, yeah, true. Because it creates a separation to have these generalizations about an entire community of people.
And it's the most illogical thing in the world to think that, oh, we blind people are somehow a different class of person, right? That's flawless or saintly.
Right.
I mean, it's it makes no sense.
Right. And so people might think, often I've noticed that like sighted people might think that like they're covering all their bases by being like super utterly respectful about the blind community, but it actually creates a big isolation and separation where it's like, I know some people, I have a friend who actually did this. She was at one of my plays with my blind actors and like walked into this room, and one of my blind actors was there, and she was like, hello, is someone here? And my friend told me that she was just like, stayed silent and just freaked out and walked out. Like, didn't know, was like, this person can't see me, so I'm just going to pretend this never happened.
So her discomfort made her flee instead of just saying, yeah, I'm here. Hi.
Because she was thinking, well, if I do say this, then what? Am I supposed to touch them? Am I supposed to shake their hand? They won't see my hand. Am I supposed to, is it disrespectful if I touch them? Do I now talk in front of them? Do I stand behind them? Do we walk somewhere? Do I help them? Do I help them? Are they waiting for the bathroom? Do I have to go to the bathroom? Like, so they just ignore it. They go, I'd rather not. So my students, and in the making of this film, being a comedy and being a little irreverent, and some people kind of, some of my friends have watched and been like, I don't know if I'm allowed to laugh. In a way, at first I was worried about that, and now I really embrace that because I'm like, cool. Because then it starts a conversation. Like, if a bunch of friends are watching and they go, I felt like I couldn't laugh. And someone goes, right. But like, you can, right? And then you're starting to talk about it, and you see blind people in this way where like, you're more familiar with them, which is why I would love for it to be like a TV show or something. You could see them in your living room every night and be like, cool, I don't know, maybe I don't know any blind people, but like, I feel like I do.
No, it could make it could have an impact on that. I think I said at the Q&A, I want this to be a TV series I can binge. But it strikes me as really, okay, I'm surprised to hear someone say, can I laugh? Because I think your first joke is told by a blind woman where she insults another blind person. Like, she says something, you know, just snarky about that person, which right there, such smart writing, you're saying right from the beginning, these are normal people. She's talking shit about she's talking shit about another blind person.
Right.
So you are allowed to laugh now. There is a blind person on screen talking shit.
Yeah, I think it just makes
right
people uncomfortable. Like, just sometimes it makes it's made some people uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because I think blindness, too, for a lot of people is like a really tough thing to think about. It's a lot of people's biggest, I've heard a lot of sighted people say it's their biggest fear, like to lose their sight. And I think maybe being around it makes people feel, some people feel like it's just too heavy for them or something to process, or they feel bad or whatever. But my intention with the movie was, number one, to like break these barriers, to make everybody laugh at themselves. Because my blind students make blind jokes all the time. Like, they'll be like, Oh yeah, I saw it. It was beautiful. Like they're making, like just, they make all these jokes about their experience. And if you cut that off, then you cut off what it is to like be a person in the world, like to be able to laugh at each other and make fun of each other, especially when it comes from a good place. And, but my intention with the movie also was to really make sure and to show that the blind student, the people we're laughing at in the movie are the stupid teachers. They're not the blind students. They're the ones that are like, they're, cause that's my experience is there are sometimes people that are either student, teachers in the blind community or something that just get it wrong. Right. And I often talk shit with my blind students about like other sighted teachers or people in their life, mentors or whatever, who are just not getting it.
Right. So there's actually people at these centers who don't get it.
Yes, who don't get it. Who either patronize them or underestimate them or just are separate from them, not trying to really get to know them as people. And so I kind of wanted to also show that, like, I feel like the whole movie, I just wanted to show that, like, everybody is flawed. The things that you think about, like, these saintly teachers, right, who, and then these, like, maybe, like, students that need all this help. It's like, no, like, teachers kind of have some selfish motives. The students are kind of, some are cool, some are not. One is totally, you know, groping people, right? Like, so this idea of like, and that's why I also wanted to tell it in this way where number one, it's a mockumentary. So you're seeing kind of behind the scenes. And number two, this kind of mechanism that we developed about it being B-roll, like stuff that no one should see. I wanted to show that in a way that it's like what we do see about the blind community is like beautiful music behind it and like people holding hands. And then it's like, but what's actually going on in this community and in all communities is like just the flawed nature of people in general in, you know, no matter what. And that's it.
So when you first started writing, you wrote it, you had mockumentary. That was your original inspired by the TV shows that are like that. Or?
Yeah, I love mockumentaries. Like, I just think that they can do so much. There's so much comedy inherently built into that, that genre in general. There's so much more you can do. And I'm interested too, after I wrote it, I realized that there's a lot of missed opportunities that I want to like explore if it continues. And I wrote a pilot and I would love to continue in that direction, but a lot of use of camera in terms of like, there's a lot of jokes that can be done in terms of camera, what people can see, what people can't see. And you know, that is a play on.
Do you not consider the Blind Center a pilot of sorts?
Yeah, it kind of is.
I mean, you've written something that's like a full 30 minutes.
Yeah, I've written something that's a full 30 minutes. And also that is structured more traditionally and less, you know, it has got similar themes, but it's just a little more filled in. And I also, the pilot also has a blind teacher as well, so that you're able to not have to have this separation between, you're able to have this kind of like liaison.
It's not like the blind students and the sighted teachers. There's not a complete dividing line.
Yeah. And I also have the main character being her first day so that we can actually see not what it is for experienced sighted people who work with blind people every day to experience this, but what it would be for somebody who is brand new to this world.
Right. Which is what your audience is going to be.
Exactly. So essentially like that girl I told you about who ran away, that's something that the main character like does. Like, just like, I don't know, like I am freaked out right now. Like, I don't know what to do. I don't know who these people are. Like, I don't know how to act. And then she has also this kind of blind teacher liaison who's able to kind of help her navigate this world in a way, like a sidekick situation, but she's able. So as an audience who has no experience in this world, we can watch somebody who feels the way we do and does these things that are like a little bit like messed up, but true to life, at least in my experience, you know? So I think that might be.
Now I'm going to have to light a candle. I always joke that I got to light candles for the projects I want to see happen.
That's nice.
Because it would be, besides the fact that I know you can be funny, because the Blind Center, I think the Blind Center of the four or so film festivals that I've been a part of so far, definitely had the most laughs.
Oh, thank you.
You know what I mean? Like definitely was the most successful comedy.
Oh,
I mean,
there's
other
really
great
nice.
Comedies.
Yeah.
But that comedy just, I haven't heard the audience roar that much. So it'd just be amazing just to, for this to actually happen.
Thank you. Yeah, it does really well. I've noticed, like, if I just watch on a small screen with a few people, like, people laugh in their head the way you do when you watch, like, you know, 30 Rock or something like that. But in the theater, it worked. Like, people were actually laughing out loud, which I was, like, so stoked on. I mean, obviously, like, you know, when you watch something you've made, you're, like, your heart's beating and you're whatever.
You know, it plays really well with
yeah,
the audience.
Yeah, it seems to play well, which I was really, which I was really happy about. I was, like, surprised. But,
In fact, I think one of the reasons why we programmed it was when you watch it, you know, on a computer screen, alone in a room, which is how most of the jury members watch, I think it's just how technically well-made it is and well-written it is that, you know, so like the response, I think the jury of the film festival responds to how well-done it is. Mm. Then honestly, how incredibly funny it was wasn't something I didn't know that.
No, I know. That's
until I saw it with others, you know. And I imagine if I just had watched it, you know, with the girlfriend at home, then we both would have laughed. Like, we tend to laugh at most of the stuff we watch together.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. But some of this, the blind actors, and I just think that they just nail it on some of these parts. Like, when Will is talking about, like, action figures and stuff, and he's like, you gotta stop me, you gotta stop me now, I'm gonna keep talking forever if you don't stop me. Like, he's just so deadpan, and like, he's so funny, so I just wanna...
Is he into action figures, really, or was he...
Yeah,
that,
he is, yeah.
But that was so well performed.
They're just, because I just love that there's no, like, actor protections about them in it. Like, they didn't, you know... They're fully themselves, and I think that's really cool. Like, I love the authenticity of their performance.
Do they have an unfair advantage being authentic? Because I know that I've known a lot of actors. I've seen it when an actor gets on set, and the cameras and the lights and all that really intimidate them.
Oh, that's interesting. No, they can still feel that energy.
They still feel the energy.
Yeah, they feel nervous, and they can.
Yeah,
tell.
They're on the spot.
And if anything, I've noticed that. Like, we're making these shorts now, and we actually had such an experience where I think one of my actors actually felt like, I think she thought that it was even a bigger crew than it was because of the way that there seemed to be a pressure applied to it. And she just, I think she was almost picturing it as being like a super big time movie set. And then I had to just kind of like reassure and be like, hey, like, you know, because she kind of was rushed into it, so she wasn't able to, like, really meet... Like, she was meeting everyone, but I think that she just felt like the pressure was on because of the energy. So then I had to kind of make an energy adjustment, which is something that I really am very conscious of now.
Right, but, like, as an executive producer, you stepped in and you let... You helped out.
Yeah, they... and I know them so well, so, like, there's just things that I can tell. I can tell... Just the way you do with anyone that you're close to, you know, you can tell if something is freaking someone out, and you can just say, you know, hey, like, kind of encouragement, and to be able to understand that, you know, it was their first experience on kind of a bigger set, and they just did such a great job, and you know, it's important to me, but yes, to answer your question. Like, even though they can't, like, for plays, they can't see the audiences there, but, like, you can feel, you know, when there's people in the room, you know? So, like, they know, they still feel the pressure.
Right, when they're on the spot, they're on the spot.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I will say there are plenty of blind actors that, like, give inauthentic performances, but I've been working with them for a really long time, and my biggest thing that I always say to them is, like, there's nothing more interesting to watch than you as yourself. Like, absolutely ever, never, nothing that you can do is going to be more interesting than you stripped of anything and just being yourself. You know, trying to encourage them to trust that, like, you as you is, like, what the only thing anyone wants to see, you know? And they'll often be self-conscious about, like, how they look, sometimes about their, like, their hand movements or, like, their facial movements and stuff. Because if you've never seen, like, and they've worked at, in different capacities, even if it's just for fun, like community theater, stuff like that, or schools, they've actually, some of them have been told that they're not doing it right, let's say, right? Like, you don't look, somebody trying to teach them to like put your hand on your hip here or like, but if you've never seen, you don't often make the same gestures.
Right. Like directing them in that way.
Yeah. Directing them, essentially directing them to look sighted is the way I think of it. And I say to them, like, you're not sighted, so you don't need to play sighted or be sighted. That's a lot of pressure, and it's also going to be not you, and it's not going to be from who you are. And I always say, like, trust, and I think that this is for all film acting, like, trust that if you have the thoughts and if you're, you know, relaxed and present, that all of it will show on your face and in your body. And so even if, don't worry about the result. Don't worry about how you look or if you look blind or if you look, you're looking the wrong way or if your hand isn't on your hip at the time that a sighted person would put their hand on their hip. Like, okay, that doesn't matter. That's so much less interesting than like you just being authentic and it'll, however it shows, is going to be perfect.
Yeah, so you're an acting teacher who is giving them like the most important lesson that people... Yeah, to be authentic, to don't act, just
yeah,
just
be. And trust that that's enough, and not worry about, you know. But yeah, people will think they don't care about. So it's very interesting because a lot of people think like, oh, if you can't see, that you're not a part of the sighted world, but it's actually not true. Like they're just as much care about like what they look like and what other people look like as anybody else. It's just something that it's hard to explain, but it's like it's not like they're not self-conscious just because they can't see. They're still just as self-conscious,
right? They're human beings.
Exactly.
they're people.
Exactly. Yeah. And yeah.
Well, so you have this great involvement with this, as a, and of course your acting goes well beyond this, I'm sure. But as a filmmaker and a writer, are there things away from the blind community that you're doing for yourself as well?
Yeah. Well, yeah. So I'm, you know, an auditioning actor.
Your selflessness is impressing the shit out of me. But there's, you know, because you talked about how important they are for quite a while, which I love. But you also, I'm just curious if you're, you know, creating your own projects.
Yeah.
You know.
So I'm an auditioning actor, you know, like everyone else in this town. And, you know, continue to do that in my own life, and I'm in class and working, and I also am honing now more in on writing. So like I'm in this little writers group with writers that I love and I really admire. And then the next thing I'm working on right now, which I've written, which I'll send to you if you want to read it, is my next short, which doesn't have any blind people in it, unfortunately, but it's about what I was just talking about with my girl group, actually, when I was a teenager. I was a young teenager when I was in it. I was like 14 to 16. And it's a dramedy. So it's funny, but it touches on kind of some serious stuff. But it's a cool juxtaposition. I don't want to like give too much away, but like we did have this kind of poppy, super happy exterior. And then underneath there was like kind of darker stuff going on, which I'm sure you can imagine with everything you've heard about, like, you know, the boy band girl group situations.
It borders on child abuse.
Yeah, it's a little exploitative.
The idea, not abuse, but exploitation, yeah.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that, and just the idea of, or more just the navigation of it, because we were old enough that we weren't children, we were young adults, and we were old enough to do that, but it was just the idea of, like, how to grow up and become a woman under a lot of kind of scrutiny and a lot of eyes and a lot of pressure, and the idea of like just growing up in general in that environment, even if it's like, even if everyone involved is like super great, it's still a pressure filled space that is different than if you were just like going to school.
Yeah, well, and you're commoditizing. We're making a commodity,
right.
You know, listening to you, I was thinking, you know, we go to college, we go to high school, college, and then we start selling ourselves to the world to make an income.
To
be burdened with doing a job like that, that's almost full time for an income.
Right.
When you're at the age that most people are getting a learner's permit and just figuring out like how to talk to someone you're attracted to. Like it's obviously a completely, yeah, a high pressure situation.
Yeah. Yeah. High pressure. And, yeah. And I think also for what made me start to want to write it was just like everything that's going on now with, you know, women telling their stories and all this kind of stuff. And I just kind of thought like, you know, especially for young girls and just the pressure of like what it means to like be a woman in the way that everyone wants you to be. Right. And the idea of not being able to like realize, okay, but how do I want to express that? Or how do I want to be or act? And that's different when you're told how to be an act and what is going to sell or what's going to be likable or how you're going to be likable or reach your fan base and all of this stuff is very, it's okay to navigate as an adult because you can separate, like, this is my work. Cause now I am an actress, but I'm an adult actress and I'm able to say like, me as an actress is like almost like a, something I'm selling, but it's not me. I'm not selling me. Me is this other thing. I'm like a package of like the person that you might cast in something or whatever, but
right. You're selling your acting, you're selling your acting skill.
Yeah. Your craft or whatever. Whereas, but as a teenager, those lines get confusing. So anyways, I've written this dramedy, which is super close to my heart. And I think it kind of tells a cool story. And I've been working on it for a while, running it back and forth, my writer's group and sending it out for notes to like everyone in America. And I'd love to produce
and
it.
And are you going to act in it?
Yeah.
Cause I was going to say, obviously you can't, are you going to be the manager or something?
We had a woman in real life who was my age, who was our vocal coach. And she was like the one, she was kind of like our big sister. So I'm her. And then I'm casting real 15-year-old girls.
Good. Cause one of the compliments I didn't get to pay you is, that in the Blind Center, you actually do carry what a 15, 20 minute film as the lead performer, you know, wonderfully.
Oh, thank you.
So, you know, I would hate, I would, even though I get it when actors are like, no, I'm going to completely step in the background and I'm going to write and produce. I'm like, yeah, no, you've got to, because you're, you know, you are one of your best assets. Your acting craft is one of your assets. So yeah, don't step behind.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I want to, and ultimately, I love writing and acting equally. And, I also just feel grateful in this kind of day and age that like, I don't have to just sit around and wait for like auditions and for people to like, tell me I can act now, which is what's so hard about being an actor rather than being a writer. Cause if you love what you do, which I do, like other than my acting class, like I don't have an opportunity to do it. You know, sometimes I'll be so full of creativity that I'll literally make my boyfriend like listen to me sing. Like I'll be like, can I just do like a concert right now and just sing? Like that's how much, you know, when you're a creative person, I feel like you need to do it. So now with like people making tons of content like online and stuff like that, and this short film outlet that has seemed to be an outlet for me, I just feel a lot more empowered that I can like act professionally and have it be something that is important to me and that I feel is aligned with like my integrity and all this stuff and still get to perform. And I love that. So I want to continue making, you know, being a filmmaker and an actor. That would be my dream.
It makes sense. And like you're saying, the lines are getting blurred now. What with distribution being streaming.
Like Insecure on HBO too. Like that's her web series, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. It started as a web series. So did Broad
Smilf.
City.
Yeah, Broad City. And these are all women, by the way, that we've just mentioned.
It's true. I have a hard time naming.
Yeah, they're out there for sure.
Workaholics.
Workaholics, yes. Those guys are hilarious.
They are really funny. They are so funny. Yeah. I try. I haven't seen it for years, but yeah, when I saw they were doing their final season, I'm like, oh my God, should I get back into it?
No, it was so good. Yeah, no, but yeah, Smilf was also. Have you seen Smilf?
No.
I just watched the pilot. It's awesome. But yeah, it's like, there's a lot of writer, creator, actors that are, you know, doing their thing.
You need to watch. Have you seen American Vandal on Netflix?
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard it's amazing.
It's a must-see. Yeah. It's another one of those must-see. But, yeah, this is a very fertile time for what you're doing. So,
hopefully
you're right in the right spot at the right time.
Right.
Have any of your students wanted to cast you in their work?
Yeah, I'm actually doing one which is kind of like a mini doc where I'm being blindfolded and Sheila is gonna walk me around town So I'm being the blind leading the blind, essentially, because I will be fully blindfolded and she'll be walking me around town.
Oh, cool.
Which is something that she's actually
she'll
done with one of her friends.
She'll be your seeing eye blind person.
but fully blind, exactly. So we're going to cross the street and do all this stuff.
Right. So it's not scripted. She wants to do this and see what happens.
It's like
and document it.
It's scripted in the way of, like, in the beginning, there's, like, a little vignette that she's written, and this is kind of, it's scripted in terms of what the action she wants us to do and some of the dialogue, but where the actual action of, like, what I'm doing is going to be real, and then there'll be a little, like, improv and stuff. A few of them are kind of more, two of them are more doc-ish, and then the others are all scripted.
Well, hopefully when they're completed, you'll be like, yeah, these you can send them over to the festivals too.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I think so. I mean, they're going to be cool. One of theirs is like, the other mini-ish doc-ish one is that one of our actors has, retinitis pigmentosa, and he just sees like a little pinhole vision. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to have like a lens, like a filter, which we did actually practically. We just put like an Amazon bag, like, with a little tiny pinhole over the lens. And we'll do a little bit like in post, but, showing about his morning and how he gets ready. So toggling between like the full screen, the actual full vision, and then his, and how he kind of navigates these seemingly to us like very simple tasks, like making coffee or like feeding his dog and stuff like that with his level of vision. We can see it like POV, which I think is going to be really cool.
That sounds cool. Oh my God, right? Like, there's just too much to say. There's just too much going on there. Like, there's too much to admire in a person. I mean, seriously, I feel like if I had Lindsay and her boyfriend over for a dinner party, all I would do was look at everyone else who I'd invited and say, what the hell do you do to make the world a better place? Because get to know Lindsay and you're going to feel really crappy about yourself. All right, I'm just kidding. I don't feel crappy about myself and I'm not nearly as good a person as she is, so I doubt anyone else would feel bad. We should all just be happy that there's people like Lindsay in the world. So The Blind Center isn't available on discoverindiefilm.com for you to watch right now. It might be soon, but if you go to theblindcentershortfilm.com, that's where you can learn more about the film. Lindsay was still submitting it to some festivals, so we're holding off for now about putting it on discoverindiefilm.com. And you should probably know that if you go to discoverindiefilm.com, there are a lot of great shorts to watch. There's links to great feature films that you can watch. There's podcasts with the filmmakers, interviews, and the Discover Indie Film 4 Questions with everybody. If you're into indie film, discoverindiefilm.com is a very cool resource. I highly recommend it. And of course, at discoverindiefilm.com, you can learn about Film Invasion LA, which is a festival I program that comes up every June, and the Sherman Oaks Film Festival, which I also program, and that one's in November. Thanks for listening.